that are suffering the most from these things, not the lazy people. So do you see something about what Jesus is saying? What's the point of being the best in your game? What's the point of being the most prosperous in your game? What's the point of having the most money? What's the point of being the most successful, but you forfeit, you destroy, you throw aside your soul? What's the point of being stinking rich, but you have no relationships, and you're lonely and depressed? What's the point? And Jesus wasn't speaking about going to heaven. He's speaking about your soul here. He's talking about you. What's the point of all this? Why do you want to go that way if you have nothing left? And I'm going to show you some, let me just give you this slide because I put it in about, that's a good reason to do that. But Fred May, a few years ago, I had a breakdown. I was a pastor. I was newly married. I was studying post-grad. I was working as an engineer in the Air Force, and I just stopped with working in the Air Force because I couldn't do both anymore. So I just said, God, I so badly want to be a pastor, so I just quit my day job, became a pastor. So I just came out of a season where I was dating, I was working in the Air Force as a young engineer, I was studying post-grad engineering, I was doing lots of things simultaneously, and I just enjoyed it. But just as I did that, it was a little bit too late. CS actually told me 6 months earlier, he just had a word, and he said, Ross, I think you should stop your day job. And I'm like, no, man, what on earth am I going to do at the church office? I was so afraid of becoming lazy because every single dominie that I ever knew in the past, my idea, it wasn't the truth, but my perception was they work half day. They're never at the office. I don't want to become lazy. It was my greatest fear. So it must be that German blood in me. It's like, and then anyway, so I had came to the office one morning. And I was just sobbing, so I closed my door so that the other staff in Pretoria couldn't see that I was... So first of all, I thought, this is a deep religious thing. I think I'm carrying a burden of the Lord for something. So I started praying, a deep charismatic pastor. So I started praying, and then after a while I figured out, no, this doesn't feel right. This is not right. So I did what any good young pastor did. I phoned Fred. So I phoned Fred. Fred was in a meeting. The first time he put the phone down, and the second time he obviously observed that he said, no, maybe I should answer this. So I went out of the meeting, and I contained myself. But as soon as I started speaking to him, I said, Fred, I don't know what's happening. And then I just started bawling and weeping. And he said, so he said, get on the first flight now. And I'm like, my wife is, I'm not going to see her. She's working through the night as she's doing intern, or not internship. She wasn't Sputman, not speed, the stuff that you spate. Was that? So she was working in the hospital studying, so she's not going to come home tonight. I said, no, I can't just, I mean, I haven't even spoken to her because I can't talk to her, and what am I supposed to say? This is no, Ross, you come immediately. And so I compromised. I said, okay, I'll book the first flight tomorrow morning. I just at least want to tell my wife that I'm going to break down. I don't know what's happening, but I'm flying down, you know. So I flew down. I'm going to tell this because this is really funny. Anyway, so by that time, obviously, I had like a whole day of rest, and I came down to Cape Town, came to Fred's house in Stellenbosch, and Inle still was there. They're waiting. I'm going to meet with them. They walked to their bedroom. I'm going to have a meeting there because someone was cleaning the house. It was really awkward coming to the bedroom of your pastor. Anyway, so I'm coming in. And he says, no, sit down on the bed with me. And I'm like, this is awkward. So he says, friend of Saul. So Saul says, okay, Ross, just tell me straight, are you gay? And I'm like, oh, what? He says, no, just say me rachet, it's your morphe. And I can say, and I'm like, no. He says, okay, cool, that's all right, thanks, let's talk. I'm like, anyway, so she never really defined that question, so I don't know what that was, but anyway. So they said, tell me what's happening. So I just told them what's happening. I was like weeping the whole time. I don't know what's happening. And then I started weeping again. They're like, and I listened for a long while, and they said, Ross, so when were you resting? And I'm like, no, I sometimes watch a movie at night with my wife, a DVD and stuff. And they're like, no, when are you resting? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, okay, let's have a discussion. So I'm tonight going to have your discussion, not exactly the same that they had with me. But during that conversation, Fred just said to me this thing. He said to me, the whole HALT principle, What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? And warning signs. And I'm just going to put it out to you today, and I'm going to say probably some of these things register high in your life and some may not register that high. But the first thing is just these are the things that when you register them any time during the day, when you register them, just the whole point is Fred just said, pause, stop, freeze, whatever you do, just take a break, take a moment, don't stop without reflecting. When you're hungry, and hungry is not just hungry, when you're hungry or you sense a need, this can be to the married and unmarried people, if you sense a vulnerability to temptation, something, if you're hungry in any way, if you have a desire for sex, if you have a desire for food, if you have a desire for something, when you register there's an unmet need and you register it loudly, just don't continue. Just take a break. Pause. Pause and reflect. I'm going to tell you now what we do when we pause and reflect, but just pause. When you sense that you are angry, agitated, anxious, or something, the A for emotional, deep emotional register. If you sense a serious emotional thing, just pause. Don't continue. Because when you're in these states, it's when your soul is fatigued and you register. Now, obviously, these things come when your soul is fatigued or not fatigued. But when your soul is fatigued, when you're tired, emotionally tired, when your soul is tired, you are really, really vulnerable to temptation. You will mess up. You will mess up. Okay, so angry, when you're lonely, or just when you sense a sense of loneliness, a desire for companionship, when you sense that it's not just that you notice that you're alone, but you really feel alone, even if there are people around me. It just says, pause, don't continue. And the last one is when you sense that you're really tired. When you're really tired, and these halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Your soul is fatigued. Take a break. Just stop. Don't continue, because this is when you are vulnerable. Now, most of our jobs don't always give us the permission. I see a few doctors here. Most of our jobs don't always allow you to just take a break when you want to take a break. So we'll deal with these things tonight. But I just want to tell you, I'm going to show a few scriptures about the need for Sabbath, the need for take a break. I'm going to read a scripture from Mark chapter 6. Jesus just sent his disciples out to their first mission trip. They sent them out to their first mission trip. They went out. Great success. The Bible says demons flew. People were healed. People were raised. Everything was amazing. It was a great power display. Everything was amazing. And they come back and they like, woohoo, this is amazing, God. God was with me. We just flowed in the power of God and it was just awesome. And they tell Jesus, and Jesus like, this is really cool. This is flipping amazing. And the next scripture says, and Jesus said, okay, let's just take a break. You had a great high. You had a great mission trip. But the crowds are so much. Now, for anyone who studied anything about church building, church growth strategy, Jesus did the dumbest thing ever. It's not the first time that he did the dumbest thing, according to the people. Let's say when you build a movement or build a brand or build a church or something, he did the dumbest thing ever. At the high, when the crowds were pressing the most, Jesus just escaped. He says, let's take a break. Let's leave the crowd. Let's drop them. Let's just go away. And you go like, why on earth? But the Bible says the apostles returned from the first mission trip, told Jesus all that they had done. And Jesus said to them, come away by yourself to a desolate place, a lonely place, a deserted place. Let's take a break. Let's rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they couldn't even take a break to eat. There was such a need for Jesus. There was such a need for God. And Jesus just left them there. It's the weirdest thing if you think about it. People walked for miles, walked dust roads for miles, bringing sick people and everything to Jesus to meet with God, to hear from God. And then Jesus said, let's just leave these people. Thanks. See you guys. Let's get in a boat. Let's run away. The disciples probably said to Jesus, no, we can't, man. I mean, we can help you minister. We just proved that we could. I mean, we just raised the dead and we just healed in leprous and stuff like that. And Jesus says, no, stuff it. No amount of the power of God can do what you need now. Let's walk away now. And I want you to get what Jesus did there. There is no power of God that can substitute rest. And I did not know that as a young pastor. That's why I burnt out. I thought that if God is in me and the Holy Spirit is moving through me, I don't need a break because the power of God sustains me. And if you read the scriptures, you'll see Jesus time and time again escaped to a lonely place by himself. And sometimes he took the disciples with him. And probably he took the disciples with him for one reason, so they can see what he does. Probably that's the only reason why they came with him. But Jesus taught them this principle. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter how powerful you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't matter how much God is in you. You need a break. And it's not as though your body needs a break, because honestly, your body just needs a few hours of sleep and then it recovers. But your soul needs a break. And this is what Jesus was illustrating. What's the point of gaining the whole world, even through ministry, but you lose your own soul? So what need do we have in Sabbath? And I really want you guys to hear this, because we frequently hear from God what God tells us to do, just like in Jesus' case. But the assumption is we should all do it uninterruptedly, constantly. We think obedience means I do it now and I don't stop. But Jesus says your soul needs a break and needs a rest. So let's just go through the scripture to look at a few principles from the Sabbath principle. Obviously, when I speak about the Sabbath, and I need to say this, now many people have a disease which we call Israelitis in the charismatic movement. It's some form of, okay, let me stop joking there. But it is the idea that everything Jewish is good. And it's not true. And many people obviously flock to shofar because of that, because we've got a name. Shofar is the Hebrew name for the ram's horn, and any Hebrew guy knows that. So they come here for that. But I really want to say that I'm not propagating keeping the Sabbath for the simple reason because it deliberately says that we shouldn't in the New Testament. It doesn't say we shouldn't. We say there's no point in it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 to 17 directly says that don't keep the Sabbath or new moons or feasts like that. All of these feasts were simply a symbol of things to come. There was no point. There's no point in keeping a religious holiday or any religious law, ceremonial law. There's no point in doing that. So when I speak about the Sabbath today, that's not what I speak about. So the first one, obviously this is before the law, is there's a need for reflection. In Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and on the seventh day, God finished all his work that he had done, and he rested. And so God blessed the Sabbath day, and God sanctified it, God made it holy. And the Sabbath principle comes from this point, obviously instituted by the law a few hundred years later. But I love this point. I've asked this in church before, but this is so cool for me. So Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. When in the sixth day? Somewhere in the sixth day. No. Okay? And then God did what with Adam and Eve? He blessed them. He said, multiply, fill the earth, reproduce, have babies, kinderspeidusaina, stuff like that. And then God said, what is their job? They should rule and govern over everything. So Adam and Eve got a job description. Adam and Eve were fresh. They were sinless. There was no disease. There was no sickness. There was no nothing. And what's the next command God gave them? Implied, yeah. Take a break. And you're thinking, if I was Adam with my personality, I would say, God, I don't need a break. I mean, I've not even been created. I haven't even lived for 24 hours. Ek is sonde vry. Ek is probably created at age 38 when you have stamina and strength and wisdom combined, you know. And then Adam and Eve is like, God says, take a break. Take a break. And you want to ask yourself, why on earth did Adam and Eve need a break? Their bodies were perfect, really perfect. No cellulite, no nothing. They were really perfect. They looked as though they CrossFit for two generations or something. And you ask them, why did they need a break? And this is implied in the break. Adam and Eve, the earth was doing fine before you came. Absolutely fine. Yes, you came on the scene. Yes, you have a purpose. I invite you into my purpose. You've got a job. Have a job. That's your job. Adam and Eve, before you came, everything was all right because I'm in control. don't think that I really need you. It doesn't really, nothing counts on you. Niks hang van jou af nie. Nothing depends on you. Thank you. Nothing depends on you. It's okay. You don't have to carry the burden of responsibility. I do. And then Adam would probably say, God, but if something goes wrong on the Sabbath day, you know, what if I don't do my stuff on the Sabbath day? And God will say to Adam, Adam, I was doing okay before you came. It's all right. The Sabbath is a Sabbath of reflection. It does this thing. Unload the burden of responsibility. Unload the idea that you can take charge of everything or that you should take charge of everything. Step back. Step back. If stuff falls apart, it's okay. It's my command. Take a break. Monday, you can pick it up again. But for now, you just relax. And this is really amazing. Guys, and for us who have, all of you, who have great responsibility at work, with your phones that never ever stop, with your emails and stuff. And they'll really teach you the principle of Adam and Eve. Switch it off at some point. And if the world crumbles because you switch off your cell phone or shut down your PC for a weekend, let it be so. Let it be so. It doesn't really depend on you. And this is what the first thing that God taught concerning the Sabbath. Take a break. What break? My body doesn't need it. Yes, I know your body doesn't need it. But your soul needs this break that says you that are not God. It doesn't really depend on you. Take a break. Take a step back. Everything is okay. And that's what Jesus did with his disciples as well when he said, come away. And they're like, Lord, but these, look at the hordes, Lord. They're coming and this is like, they're going to be saved tonight, Lord. Look at them, they're coming. And Jesus said, leave them. It's okay. And they're like, Lord, but they have a need now. There's a guy with cancer and there's a guy in a wheelchair and there's that mom. And look at this, Lord, they want to hear what you say. God, they want to come to you. And Jesus just said, take a break. Step away. There will always be a need. There will always be a need. But you're not God. You need a break. You need to remind yourself that you are not responsible for everything in life. Step away. Even though I give you the job to take charge of the earth, you need to remind yourself that it doesn't depend on me. I am not God. There's a God, and I'm not him. Great lesson in life. Step away from the vehicle. And then they stepped away from the vehicle. Jesus probably did say to that to the guys because they got in a boat and everyone just like, and Jesus said, step away from the vehicle. My disciples need a boat. They need a break. The second need for the Sabbath, Leviticus chapter 23 is a beautiful chapter. And for those of you who really struggle to fall asleep at night, Leviticus is great. It's really great. You'll read over, but there's some gems in there, but it's really great. Just wanted to watch my time. I'll be quick now, but there's a Bible. You don't get Bible translations, literal translations, then you get functional dynamic translations, other thing, and then you get paraphrases. Now, there's one paraphrase of the Bible, which is the word on the street. It's a translation, it's called the word on the street, and it's like that rapper boy. It's a guy in the Bronx in New York who got saved, reading Psalm 23 while he was on a bed dying, and he just read for the first time Psalm 23 because there was a Gideon's Bible next to him, and he read, and then it was amazing. He just, although he has never been in a sheep farm, something in the psalm spoke to him, and he got saved, and he cried out to God, and then he tried to read the rest of the Bible, and he's like, I have no idea what's written in here. It's like, open in Isaiah, and it's like, the burden of the Lord against this country, and it's like, John, da-da, and then he goes, what on earth? So eventually, he got healed. Lord completely healed him. He came out, and then he said, I'm going to write the Bible that my brothers can understand. So he paraphrased the Bible, and Leviticus is one paragraph. It says, there were ceremonial laws, which we don't understand today, but it has to do about God once to meet these people, and Jesus was not here yet, so they had to come through him, some ceremonies and rituals, and that's what you need to know. Anyway, but this is one in Leviticus that I love. Leviticus chapter 23 is I'm going to read, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day, a solemn rest, a holy gathering. You shall work on all these other days. And then he just says, these are the feasts of the Lord, the holy gatherings. But you can read the whole chapter. You can maybe just show the next slide to them. But these are the holy gatherings, and I love the word holy convocations, holy gatherings, that they had to do. They had Passover and unleavened bread feast, which is basically in first fruit, which is all related. It's in the first time, and then they had Pentecost there. 50 days after Passover is the second holiday thing. And then they had the Feast of Trumpets, which we just had the other day, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It was the Day of Atonement, which is the most holy day when people reconciled to God. And then they had Feast of Tents, Feast of Tabernacles. And then the eighth feast was added later during Esther's time, just to remember that the Lord saved them all from a big genocide. But if you look at these things, what does it communicate to the Jew who walks to Jerusalem? Say he stays in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, a few hundred kilometers away from Israel, not many. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to talk to the person next to you and say, imagine you were commanded 3 times a year to go to Jerusalem. And in the command says, you will do no work, stop all your work, whether you a blacksmith, whether you a sales rep, the Jews are great sales rep, whether you a banker, they're great bankers, or whether you a sheep farmer or a maize farmer, corn farmer, whatever, korn farm. Anyway, if you're one of those guys and you had to go to Jerusalem, what does this communicate to you? Imagine, remember, Jesus was lost but he was found by his mother in the temple. Jesus was lost for a few days, 3 days. Why? Because his mom and his dad, with everyone else, walked back home to Bethlehem. Just want to take a moment. What does it do for you? Your identity, your personality. Just talk to the person next to you. Imagine, what do these feasts communicate to you? What's the purpose of the feast? So some of you are having good conversations, and some of you are going, I'm just going to talk for a while, because I have no idea what to say to you, but I'm glad today's a break. It's amazing. These feasts were commanded by God. God said, have a break. But God doesn't say, have a break together. God says, alone. God says, stop everything you do, and I want you and the whole family, pack up your kids, get into your minivan, I want you to pack your tent, I want you to drive to the campsite in Jerusalem. We're going to meet all outside the temple. And what they do every time they get together, whether you know it or not, is they are reminded that I am part of God's family. This is my legacy. This is who I am. There are 2 things which communicate identity. When you meet someone, you usually ask them, what do you do? You ask them, so what do you do? And they say, well, I'm a doctor, or they say, no, I work at Seed Accounting, or they say, I'm an engineer, or they say something like that, I'm a teacher, I work at Pick and Pay, whatever. So, but it says something about who you are. And then there's a second, I say, Neil, Slonim. And then there's a second question that you usually ask them, do you know so-and-so, or are you married? It's usually a question that you ask someone, or do you have kids? Some relational question. Because we are known, our identity is formed in what we do and who we belong to. So the purpose of the holidays was this. God said, I'm giving you a great land. It's a prosperous land. It's an awesome land. And you're going to get a job. And the Jews knew how to work. They really knew. They were hardworking people. But God says, I want you, every seventh day, you take a break. You refuse to work. And the reason he says, I'll tell you later in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, I want you to take a break every seventh day so that you may remember that I'm the Lord your God who brought you to this land and who gave you this prosperous land. Remember that, that's all. Remember you were slaves, today you're not a slave. I want you to find your identity not in what you do, whether you're successful or unsuccessful is not the issue. I want you to find your identity with the people I've placed you with, remembering that I'm your God. That's where you get your identity from. I'm the Lord who saved you for myself from slavery. Today you don't work. Why? Because I want you to remember this. You are not your job. You are not your work. Whether you're successful, your identity is not shaped whether you're a successful pastor or whether you're a poor pastor. Your identity is not found in how you perform and what you do. Your identity is found in, you are mine. I saved you. I brought you to this land. And whether you're successful or unsuccessful, that's where you find your identity. But you don't find it alone, because every single one of these Sabbaths, whether it's just the seventh day, or whether it's any one of these seven feasts plus Purim, the eighth feast of Israel, is I want you to celebrate it as a, he says it every time, a holy gathering. I want you to get together, all you people, everyone that's in Israel, come. I want you to meet your friends. I want you to be with your family. I want you to find your identity not in what you do, but who you belong to, me and these people. Rest in that. Rest in the fact that this is who you are. And guys, I don't know if you, but my best memories as a kid is as family, Christmas, or when we go to the Voltaine. You go, and it's amazing. We spend time with mom and dad in the pool. It's my happiest memories. It's when we get together with Oma and Opa for Christmas, or when we get together as a holiday as people. Because we're like, thank you. My dad is here all the time. My mom is here all the time. And you relate. My identity is shaped in holiday times because I relate to the people. Guys, it's really necessary for you. Your soul needs to remember that you are not your job, that you are not either successful or unsuccessful based on your performance because you're a good or rich or a poor person. Your family does not, your kids don't care how much you earn. They care that you are my dad. Your soul needs to remember that this is precious. This is precious. My people, not my job. It's fine if your work fails because you didn't answer that call. It's not fine if your wife walks away because you did answer that call. Really necessary. I see Conrad and Corneille is having a moment back there. It's good. Refreshing. The third. So first, it's just reflection. I'm not God. It doesn't really depend on me. Secondly, relationship. Sabbath is meant for relationship. We have a party together. We have relationship together. And then thirdly, it's this principle of refreshing. And I could have just kept that scripture from Jesus when he said, come away. It's great. It's great that the crowds are coming, but come away. Let's get in a boat. Let's drive out. Why? Because the disciples needed a break. They needed a Sabbath. They needed a time away from work. And then secondly, he just says in Acts chapter 14, there's another example. Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary trip. They had a great missionary trip, flipping amazing stuff. I mean, the guy got stoned once. Obviously, not that type of stoning. But he got stoned once. He was like on the ground, but the disciples in Lystra picked him up, started ministering to him. So he had a rough time, but it's amazing. He established several churches on this missionary trip, and he came back to Antioch, his base church. And I love what it says here. From there he sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended, from where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they have completed. So they stayed there for a long time. They had a break. They had a holiday. They went, they worked really, really hard. They went away from their friends and family in church. They went to Galatia, the province, the Gauls, and the Asterix and Obelix's people. I say that always because you must remember that. It's really true. And they came back. And they came back to Antioch. And the Bible says there they took a break. They took a long break. They didn't work. They didn't do anything. They just took a break. They just hung with the church for a long time. Why? Because they needed refreshing. Their soul was exhausted from an intense mission trip for a long time. And they came back and they needed a break. Now, you don't just need a break when you go on a mission trip. Sometimes you need a holiday when you just finished a big project. Or sometimes you need a holiday after you finish your internship. Sometimes you need a holiday after you had a great disaster. Something happened and you just need a break for a long time. Stefan, miskien moet jy 'n breek vat nadat jy eksamens geskryf het. Lang vakansie, sê vir jou mense. I need a break. Ross said it in church. Okay. But your soul needs refreshing. Just emotionally, you just need to recharge. You really just need a break. No responsibility. No need to exert yourself. And the last thing is semi-related, but I just want to mention it here. It's also one of those laws in Leviticus, which is not in the word on the street paraphrase, but it's here. It says there's 6 years, you shall sow your fields, but in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of the solemn rest in the land. Sabbath of the Lord. You shall not sow your field. You shall not prune your vineyard. You will do nothing. You will leave the ground like it is. You can live off anything that comes up, but you're not going to do anything. And this is a principle in Israel, but the Lord says, no, the soil needs a break. They didn't have any fertilizers or stuff like that. But I think the principle is bigger than this. It's more than just the soil actually needed replenishment. I think it was just an example to Israel, where God said, listen, you were slaves where you worked 7 days a week forever. I'm bringing you to a land which is prosperous. It's great. It's fertile. And when you're here, I want you to work for 6 years. Do your stuff. Have your holidays. Do your stuff. But then I want every seventh year, I want you to not do anything on your land. Don't touch your land. Leave it. Let it grow. If it grows, it grows. The sheep that multiply will have that. Don't do anything with the land. Leave it. You can live off anything that comes from it, but don't work. Farmers, don't work. Take a break. Because the land needs a break. And I think the principle is a bit bigger for that. What we usually do in when we talk to people is that there are sometimes people just go through an immensely difficult time, a really, really harsh time, season, long season. And then we just tell them, listen, your soul needs replenishment. So I want you to do something courageous. I want you to stop with your job. Because what does it gain you if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? So take a break. You're burnt out for a long period. Don't do anything. Don't do anything or do something light. You know, worte pastoor of it. Anyway. But do light ministry. Do something light that doesn't exert you, because you need to be refreshed in a sense. Something in you needs to be rebuilt. You need to take a break. You need to be replenished. And we say, obviously, doctors say that to people that have anxiety breakdowns or stuff like that all the time. But that's typically when you are at that point where you have burnt out. You need a break. You need to do something to restore your soul to come back so that you can be fully functioning again. And I love that. And the reason is, obviously, if the guys did plant on the seventh year, they'll get a crop. And probably they wouldn't even have noticed a diminishing crop. Eighth year, probably not either. Tenth year, there might be a little less that comes from the soil, but no one really would notice. You still make a profit. The Jews would just get their profit margin bigger, or they may import a profit from another country, and then they have a non, so that they not have, anyway, it's a grappie. But they'll have a profit, and they'll be do well. But probably after year number 14, they would notice that, something wrong here. And after year number 20, they notice, this country is not really, the soil is not so good. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Let's pray to God. Let's ask him. And the God would probably just say to him, listen, it's been 3 years, three Sabbath years that you missed. So what's my answer? Take 3 years and rest the soil. That's what you needed. I want you also to know that the Jews didn't always do this. After a few years, obviously, Jews like me and you, they just say, no, man, I'm going to make money out of this thing. My soil is fine. I'll just get my cattle to walk there and, you know, do their thing, and then everything will be fine. It's amazing if you notice the Babylonian exile, they were exiled to Babylon, was exactly the number of years that they missing the Sabbath year principle. So the soil did rest for that 70 years, because for 500 years they did not rest the soil. And it's amazing if you just read that in scripture. Sometimes we just need a break. And it's a courageous thing, because every one of these Sabbaths imply a trust in God. So let me just mention this to you. What is the purpose then of a summary. The purpose, that's such a bad slide. I need a graphic designer. Anyway, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? The purpose of the Sabbath is this, is to remind you of your identity and allow you to trust in God and not in yourself. Remind you that you are not God. I need to trust God. Remind you of who you are. Every one of these Sabbaths have that in common. The Sabbath was instituted for this reason, that you may remember that you used to be a slave, but you're not a slave anymore. You used to be by yourself, but you're not by yourself anymore. You used to be without God in Egypt, but now you are with God in Israel. It has everything to do with your identity. You are not just your work. You're not defined by your work anymore. You're not defined by what class of slave you are. You're defined as my child, as my person whom I've saved. And secondly, you are defined by the fact that I'm your God and I will take care of you. And that's the purpose of the Sabbath. That's the purpose of every one of these Sabbaths. Maybe we can just put a summary up there. June. Sabbath was made for man. Reflection. I'm not God. It doesn't all depend on me, Adam. Relationships, all the feasts, meant to remind me that I'm not just defined by my work, but I'm defined, my identity is found in who I belong to, God and these people. That's who I am, and that's what's necessary for me. Sometimes we need a refreshing and restoration, but that's the whole point, to reaffirm your identity and your trust in God. I'm going to pray for us, but just before I pray, many of us know about this that I just mentioned to you. You know about the Sabbath principle. Every time we take Sabbath, it is a step of faith. Every time. Every time we actually have a time of rest and a time of break, it is a step of faith. Like Adam and Eve, like any one of these Jews who had their businesses, they stopped working for an income, or they stopped running the household. They stopped everything. And then when you stop doing stuff, there will be consequences. But you need to grow to the maturity where you say, God, I'm going to stop all this stuff now, and some balls may fall on the ground. But God, my soul needs rest, first of all. I'm obeying you because disobeying you, sin leads to death. It's going to cause my diminishing. It's going to cause me also having anxiety, me also having depression, me also becoming crazy, me also becoming agitated, grumpy. Also, me becoming missing my relationships and the people I love, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to become a mess. My soul will be lost if I don't take a break. So you say, God, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to step away from the vehicle, step away from my work. But I'm not just going to step away, because we all know that watching DVDs doesn't always refresh you. Going to the beach refreshes you more. Playing computer games doesn't refresh you at all. Yeah, grappie, I'm just knocking again. So all these things doesn't refresh me. I need a rest in God. And this is what every one of these Sabbaths were. It's, God, I'm going to spend time with you and your people because I need it. I need to be with you. And it doesn't mean you pray for 8 hours or 24 hours or 7 weeks or whatever, a whole year. It's not the point. I'm going to live in the reality that, God, you're in control, and I'm going to reaffirm that the whole time. I'm going to reaffirm the fact that I am not a slave, but I am your child. So this is what we do every time we have a Sabbath. God, my identity and my trust is in you. Really, it doesn't all depend on me. It's necessary when you take a break to actively take a break. So that's why I'm talking about shutting down the phone. That's why a Mauritius holiday is such a good idea. Because, you know, It's a sign. Kubus, it's a sign. Retreat. I think pastor's retreat. We'll talk to the church later. That's why going, but it doesn't mean you don't have to go away. You just need to switch off. Go away. Actually spend time with God. Be it say. Yeah, share a testimony, Kubus. For the besoekers, here is Pastor Kubus Meyer.
I started my own business about 3 months before Lorette and I got married, which it's not a good idea. But I was 22 at that stage, and I started my business, and plumbing business. And I mean, obviously, hit that thing hard. 24/7 kind of situation, you know, because I want to provide for my wife and I want to make a big success of this. And that went on for about a year. And apart from that, I was the sound man. I was the bus driver at church. I was an elder at church. I did a whole bunch of stuff at church. And it went on for about a year. And I think I can still remember the day. It was Christmas Day, and this woman phones me. And she goes like, you know, there's toilet running, water running out of the toilet. And I go, okay, cool. Is it on the floor? And she's like, no. It's just running from the cistern into the bowl. And I thought, yes, you lady. This is Christmas Day, and you close the tap, man. Jeepers, really. And, you know, I said to her, sorry, I'm not going to help you today. Not with that. It's Christmas Day. I'll see you next week. And I put down the phone, and initially I felt really bad. But the Spirit of God really used that to speak to me. To get to that point where I realized that God is my source. Now, if you have your own business or if you work for someone, you know, what God challenged me is, who's my provider? Is it truly Him or is it my place of work or, in that case, my business? And I made a decision that day to stop doing 24/7 plumbing. In Cape Town, I was literally the only plumber that worked Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. And I can tell you this much, that in just, you know, if people ask me, I said, that is my family time, and that is also the time that I serve in the church and so on. And obviously after hours, I want to get involved in small groups and all these things. And I literally, 8 o'clock I switched on my phone, and 5 o'clock I switched it off. And initially people were very cheesed with this plumber that's useless and don't want to, but... And this is not my words, but later the testimony was that they get more out of me and more quality of work from me between 8 and 5 than they get from guys that work 24/7. And I can tell you this much, God blessed me supernaturally 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, like you just can't believe. I did the same turnover that people did that work 24/7. So I want to encourage you, what Ross is sharing here, you know, in your mind, probably you're sitting there and you're thinking, there's no ways I can do this. But I want to challenge you to step out and trust your source. Trust the God who loves you so much that He wants to provide for you. Because you do need the rest. And if you are married, your spouse needs your time. And you need to set those aside. And I'll tell you, unless this becomes a value to you, that the world will take it away. They will destroy everything that you're standing for. So please heed this message. I mean, he's sharing it so awesomely. But heed it and give ear to it. I want to almost say, you know, those that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying through Ross tonight. So thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, Kobus. So I'm going to ask you, how will you respond practically? Three simple questions. What will you start to do? What will you stop to do? And what will you adapt a little bit? What will you refine a little bit? What must you revisit again? What will you start doing? What will you stop doing? And what can you refine? How will you change the way you... How will you trust God for this? Just before we're going to pray for people that really need prayer, that is a bit burnt out, I just want you to have a conversation with the person next to you. Just want you to tell them, listen, this is what I hear, and this is what I will do. I don't want you to repeat the sermon. I don't want you to preach your own sermon. Just how will you respond to this? What will you do because of this word? Just what will you? Just start telling them, this is what I will do, and this is what I will stop doing. Okay. Like I'm a smile, this is so even. Praat oor vakansie. Amen. I see that some of you are still discussing this. You can continue to discuss this over coffee. Bradley, oh, there you are. Konrad, can you see the light achter afsit? We're going to do a bit of ministry now. Guys, our lives and the way we live our lives has an impact on us. It does affect us negatively. Konrad, somebody aan die ene om, asseblief. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. It's recht. It's good. It's good. It does have a big impact on us. Some of you know this, that before you came to Jesus, you had a sexual relationship with every second person. And after a while, you've discovered that it really messes up your soul badly. It messes you up emotionally and physically. It does have a big impact on you. And some of you didn't do that, but you drank a lot. And after a while, you figured out, man, this messes up my body and my emotions a lot. And some of you did lots of other things. Now, overwork does the same thing for you. It's also addictive, but it has the same impact on you. It messes you up your body and it messes up your soul. So just because that happens doesn't mean that that's now how you will be forever. Sorry. Dear Senor, sterkte vasbyt. We serve a God who heals. We serve a God who restores our soul. The Bible says that God makes us lie down in peace. I love that. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. And then it says he leads us to waters where there's stilte, waters waar vrede is. I forgot my seal, excuse Afrikaans. But then he says he makes me lie down. And I love that. I've got two boys, I've got a boy and a girl, and I tell you that I need to make them lie down at times. I know they need sleep, they don't think so. Bedtime is the craziest time for them, but I need to make them lie down. Gentle ways, forceful ways, doesn't really matter. For some of you, the Lord needs to do that with you. He may make you lie down in peace. He must bring you to a point where you must sleep because you need sleep. You need rest. But even if you messed up because you didn't listen to him, I want to tell you that you're not left for yourself. We serve a God who redeems and restores that which the devil has taken away, that which sin has taken away. So we want to pray for people tonight that just feel burnt out. You just feel burnt out, you feel tired, you feel emotional, you feel depressed, you feel anxious. Those are typical stuff. In Japan, they have more than 1,000 suicide, 1,000 death-related things because of overwork. They've got a term in Japan. They've got a crazy culture. I can't pronounce the term. It's a Japanese term. But 1,000 people die annually because of overwork. They work themselves to death. Now, we're not in Japan and we're not quite there. But I tell you, we're very close there. Our culture is obsessed with hard work and striving. And our whole economy, you know, we must work harder and harder and harder. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. If you trust in your own to provide for you, to build yourself up, you will forfeit your own soul. So tonight we want to pray for people that are just, you feel burnt out, you feel tired, or maybe you're here tonight and you're a parent and it's at hard. You haven't slept, you haven't done stuff. Let's trust God tonight to restore your soul, to restore your emotions, to restore your body. So we're going to pray for you. But let me just pray for us before we sing the song that we trust in Christ alone. Father, I thank you, God, that you're the God that know us, God, and you designed us, God. You say that we need Sabbath, we need a break. Sabbath was made for man, God, because we need a break, not because you want us to have a break, but because we need it, God. And I thank you, Lord, tonight that we can just reflect and stop and say, God, I am not a slave to the economy. I'm not a slave to performance. I'm not a slave to anything else. Tonight, God, we just stop and we say, as we just came together, we are identified as friends and as people in God. You're our Savior. You're our God. Tonight we gather because you're our God. This is a holy gathering and we stopped everything because we know that we need to stop and focus our eyes on you, God, and be refreshed by you. And this is my prayer, God, that you will satisfy our souls, Lord, that you will bring rest to our souls, that you will bring peace, that you will restore us again, Lord. So God, I pray for people that are just burnt out and people that are just tired and people that are just agitated, God, and people that just feel down and depressed, God, and people that feel in any way just frustrated and far away, far from peace and far from happy. Tonight, God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will satisfy us and that you will restore us. in Jesus' name. So if you're here tonight and that prayer was for you, you just figured out that I'm tired and I'm frustrated, I'm emotional, I'm whatever, then as we sing this, you're welcome to come forward. We're going to minister to you tonight. Amen. Let's stand. Let's just close this in prayer. Amen. For those of you who have to go, you're really welcome. God bless you. Please have some coffee at the back with your friends. But if there's anyone here tonight and you've got a physical need, as jy fisies nie lekker is nie, jou lyf nie lekker is nie, emosies nie lekker is, you're really welcome. The presence of God is here to heal. So we'll pray with you. But thank you for the time. Please spend some time to get to know someone. Don't go home already. Let someone invite you over for coffee or something. Otherwise, just have coffee at the back. God bless you.